The Lord spoke some very interesting things to me. I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord speaking to my heart. It wasn't just a few days ago. I actually started to speak a couple weeks ago. And I heard this phrase, "Then shall thy light spring forth." And I went to Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read you the verse. It's actually verse 8. It says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear word." That means thy rear guard. Now, I just want to ask a simple question that should have a simple answer. How many of you desire that your life, that your light would break forth and your health will spring forth? Amen? Your light and your health breaking forth. Is anybody going to answer? Mike, the only one that wants that to happen?
Okay.
There you go.
What verse?
Verse 8, chapter 58 of Isaiah. "Then shall thy light..."
Amen.
"Then shall thy health..." Apparently, our health springing forth is going to have something to do with our light springing forth. Now, what does it mean, our light springing forth? How do you know if somebody has light or not? Haven't you seen people that just, you know, they're walking in darkness? You can just see it. They just stumble along. There's no, I mean, you look into their eyes, it's like nobody's home. You know, I'm somewhere else. I'm out to lunch. I'm gone. Amen. And we want to have our light springing forth, do we not? Amen. So, but we have to identify, first of all, what it is. And secondly, I guess my next question is then, what is preventing our light from springing forth? What is preventing our health from springing forth? Why isn't it coming forth? And you said the one answer, obviously, is sin. There's a problem between us and God. Now, I'm not saying, brethren, everybody is going to go through testing and trial. Mm-hmm. All right? And that's not necessarily because we're wicked sinners under some great curse or anything like that. We're all going to have testing and trial. But there's something that is, you know, there's, if we live our whole life and never have the light spring forth, never have our health come forth, what is it then that we spend our whole life in this arena of darkness? There's something wrong.
Right.
Now, the context of this verse, of course, we need to be faithful to the Word of God. The context is to the pallet, so that when it's moved by forklifts and put on trucks and everything, nothing's going to move. But if I were all bound up with bands, I wouldn't be able to move either.
Right.
I wouldn't have any liberty. I wouldn't have any freedom. I would be totally constricted and restricted. Amen? So to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Now, one of the things that's suggested here in the Word is, as I said, fasting is not to get God's attention. He hears us when we cry. He hears our prayer. Then what is the point of fasting? Fasting is to break the hold of my flesh. In other words, it's shall we say, 9 times out of 10, the problem is that my flesh is keeping me back. What is it that prevents us from going through the veil? What is the veil? What is the definition of the veil? The veil is flesh. And, you know, you can say, well, Jesus paid the price. Jesus took away the curse. Jesus tore the veil. Yes, but we have to be in a position where our flesh is rent as well. Amen. So let me go on and read a few verses here in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8, we started with that. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. We do a lot of calling, but sometimes we're a little short on answers, aren't we? Do you know, I can remember times in my life when it seemed that every time we called on the Lord, He gave an answer. And by the way, it was times of great trial and great distress. Prosperity came along. We weren't worried about some of the things that we worried about at one time. It just seemed the Lord was just blessing. Every time we'd ask the Lord, He gave a word. He gave an answer. You know, it's good to be in a place like that, isn't it? But He says He wants us to be in a place whenever we call, then what? And the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry. He shall say, here am I. Here I am. Here I am. I like I am better than am I. Why? Here I am. Have you ever noticed how many times that little phrase appears in the Bible? What's his name?
I am.
What did he tell Moses?
Tell
Pharaoh I am is sending you. Amen? And you know there is power in that I am. You know, they came to arrest Jesus in the garden.
Yeah.
And who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I am He. Knocked all the soldiers down.
Yeah.
I mean, He could have done it again.
Yeah.
He could have done it 12 times. Every time they got up, He could have knocked them down.
Right.
Just saying, I am. But no, He allowed them to take Him. He submitted Himself to it. He had the power. And there's power in that name, I am. Amen. Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke. What's a yoke?
Bondage.
Pardon?
Bondage.
And what did you say?
Hindrance.
Hindrance and bondage from the midst of thee. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that I have the yoke, but I might be putting yokes on other people too and hindering other people. I might be putting religious expectations on people. Well, you have to do this, you have to do that. You know, nothing to do with the Word of God. If I take away the yoke and the putting forth of the finger. What's the putting forth of the finger?
Accusation.
Now, to put forth the finger of accusation doesn't just mean that I go up to you in front of your face and put my finger in your face and start saying things to you about you. Most of the putting forth of the finger is done behind somebody's back. We're talking about somebody, murmuring about them, talking about them in the what we believe the privacy of our own confines, and thinking that nobody knows anything about it. But God is saying, if you want your light to spring forth, if you want your health to spring forth, there's things you're going to have to do about it. Amen? You're going to have to stop doing some things that you've been doing. And speaking vanity. What's vanity?
Pride.
What's that word mean?
Pride.
Wickedness, too. Pride and wickedness, yeah. So we're going to have to stop our prideful, wicked, arrogant speech. Because that, what comes out of our mouth, is what's been in our heart. All right? And if you draw out your soul to the hungry, what's this mean? It means you're looking to the good of other people. People who have needs. It's not just natural hunger needs. There are people who are hungry for the Word of God. Hungry for the taste of the Spirit of God. Amen. We have something. We have a treasure. in our earthen vessel. We can't just hide it and hide it and hide it. You've got to let it out. That's what the letting of the light out is all about. Amen? And satisfy the afflicted soul. See, it doesn't just say satisfy the afflicted stomach, but satisfy the afflicted soul. People going through difficult times, give them hope. Give them faith. Give them the Word of God. Tell them that God cares and He has an answer for their problem. He has a means of their deliverance. They don't have to live in the same old bondage they've been living in for years and years. Amen. Then shall thy light rise. See, here it is again. Light springs forth, light rises. Who is the light, by the way? So, in other words, you're letting Jesus out of you. So I got Jesus in my heart. He's hidden in my heart. Well, He shouldn't be just hidden there. He needs to come out.
Amen.
Amen. He needs to rise.
Yeah.
You know, the term rise, I know, we're limited in natural thinking.
Right.
Raise your hands. Well, you know, God is as much up here at the ceiling as He is down here.
Right.
But in our way of thinking, this is rising.
Right.
Amen? Hallelujah. So, our light rise in obscurity. How many of you know we've been pretty obscure?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a 99-cent word that I have to define? You know what obscurity means, don't you? It means that nobody knows anything about you. You've never been heard of. You're not known. My light is going to rise in obscurity, okay? And thy darkness shall be darkness or thy gloom. Thy gloominess is going to be as noonday. Now we're talking about noonday with the sun shining, right?
Hallelujah.
Can you see? Have you ever seen such a transformation in a person? That they've walked about in darkness and gloominess, and all of a sudden you see them one day, some weeks later, and they're bright, they're smiling, they're shining, their light is coming forth. What happened? I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, somebody's going to see something happen to you.
Hallelujah.
And they're going to want it. Let me read a few more verses. I got so many, I just don't know where to go here today. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought.
Amen. Yes.
How many of you go through dry times?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
You know, He says He'll satisfy you in the dry times.
Amen.
Amen? And make fat thy bones.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about... Well, yes, we need our bones fat. It speaks of prospering in our body.
Right.
Amen? My bones need to be prospered. You know, if you have fat in your bones, they're not going to creak and pain and all this and that when you walk. I think that's what it's a picture of. You know, I am so thankful. I look at people my age walking in the mall, and it just seems like 50% of them or more is walking with some kind of a difficulty. I can tell, you know, being a nurse, you can tell. You see the way they walk, and I'm thinking that person's having problems in their right hip. That one's having problems in their left knee. You can almost tell by looking at them and watching them. And I say, oh God, you know, I'm not pointing my finger. But I'm saying, oh God, I thank You so much that I can walk upright yet. Thank You, God. What a gift it is. Make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Amen. There you go, Sean. Your garden automatically watered. We're talking about the garden of your soul. The garden of your soul will just be continually watered. It'll be fresh. Continually ministering life to you. Yes. Amen. And they that be of thee, I didn't know how far I want to go. They that be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. What does it mean, they that be of thee? Your family, your fellowship, the group that you identify with. They, in other words, your people, whoever you consider to be your people are going to have a reputation in the world of restoring waste places, raising up places that have fallen down. People's lives have fallen down. People's lives have become waste places. You're going to have a reputation. You may not be great. You may not have thousands of they that be of thee. But when somebody's in trouble, who are they going to look for? Are they going to look for the crowd that has 1,000 where they can sit quietly in the back and get lost? No, they're going to say, oh, I'm going to go over to brother and sister so-and-so, and I'm going to get prayer, and they're going to pray for me, and I'm going to get the waste places in my life restored, because they have a reputation, and God hears them. Amen. Isn't it good to have that kind of reputation?
Amen.
To have people hunt you down. Get calls from people that you don't even know. Say, oh, brothers, oh, sister, I know that you people will pray for me. I've heard about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about people. I remember hearing about a man down in Oklahoma. I wish I had gone to that man while he was still alive. I wish I had met him. He had a reputation. They said that this man, if you came into his house and met him and just fellowshiped, he would prophesy over you. Somebody said that he would see a vision and he'd read it off. He would, like he was reading a scroll. Thus saith the Lord. He was reading it.
Amen.
God would show it to him that way. Now that's a good reputation to have, isn't it? Not everybody has that gift. And I heard about the brother, and they said, oh, you should have met brother so-and-so down there in Texas or Oklahoma somewhere. Oh, it's sad you didn't meet him. And I'm thinking, yes, indeed, it's sad. I wish I had known that brother, you know? But he had a reputation. Amen. You'll be called the repairer of the breach. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. What kind of a breach? What does this mean? Come on, now we're not talking about masons going out to stone buildings and putting cinder blocks and things in place. That's not what we're talking about, are we? What kind of breach? What is a breach? It's something separated, it's something broken down, it's something that's split apart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what is the ministry of a repair of the breach? The ministry of a repair of the breach is a peacemaker, is he not? He's filling in the gap. Do you know what happens when there's a gap in the house, a big hole? Things come in that don't belong in there. You know, animals come in particular, mice and moles and voles. My, we've had our abundance of them. I don't know how they get into the house. There must be a breach somewhere. They find every little hole they can. But insofar as the house of God, can we think of ourselves as the house of God? If there's a breach in the house of God, what's going to come into that hole? Demons,
yep.
Devils, the enemy is going to get in. So, they that be of thee are going to have this reputation. We're going to be healers of the breach, restorers of the breach. Amen. So let's just go on. Keep that thought there, sister. Let's go to verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. High places of the earth. Earth is what? Earth is the natural realm, isn't it?
Yes.
Earth is the carnal realm.
Yes.
Do you know what? God can bless us in the natural.
Yes.
He can bless us in carnal ways, if you please.
Yes.
Yeah, come on. We live in carnal realms, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We eat, sleep, drink, what have you. We do the carnal things that everybody that's in the flesh has to do. And God can bless us in that. Amen?
Yes.
We will walk in high places.
Yes.
Among earth.
Yes.
earth people, worldly people, are also going to know that you walk in high places. People that you meet at garage sales, if any of you go to garage sales, if you're allowed to. Amen? People that buy used furniture and used appliances from you. Used cars, whatever it is. People that you buy from. They're going to see some light in you. Amen? The guy that I bought that car from. Car had been in the weeds. I began to talk and negotiate with the man. The last encounter we had, he really opened up and he began to spill out to me about his daughter who was waste places in her life. She'd gotten into drugs. She'd gotten into alcohol. She'd just gotten into a terrible, wild lifestyle. He was so grieved about it, but he was a man of the world. And I said, my friend, I will pray for your daughter. Oh, I would be blessed if you would pray for her. And I prayed for his daughter, and he was so blessed. Someday I'm going to have to go back and find out what happened. I'm believing that God broke a curse.
Amen.
On that girl. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
Because the word was sent out.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, mm-hmm. for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28, and I don't know if I have time to do Deuteronomy 28, but let's take a quick look at it. It tells, now I'm telling you, I read to you Isaiah, first of all, which tells us how to get out of the trouble. Okay? If we've been in that trouble. Deuteronomy 28 tells us we have a decision to make. We can go this way and be blessed, or we can go that way and be cursed.
Right. Amen.
Okay? I gave the good news first. I'll finish with the good news. Jesus is the good news, by the way. All right. He took the curse upon himself.
Yes.
He became a curse that we might be delivered from the curse. But Deuteronomy 28, actually it's 27 and 28. I don't really have time to be to really go through it all. I'll just give you the last verse of chapter 27. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen.
Amen.
Now it starts, there's a choice given. In other words, there are people here in the valley of decision. In fact, I think they actually were in a valley. There was a mountain on this side, there was a mountain on the other side. And each one spoke these choices back and forth. And the people were to say they wanted the blessing, they didn't want the curse. So God is saying, if you want to be blessed, here's the way you have to go. If you don't do that, here's the curse that's going to come. Now let me read a little bit here. Verse 20, chapter 28, verse 1, he says, you have to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. In other words, it isn't just listening and agreeing and saying amen. It's that you agree and you're going to carry it out with the way you walk your life. You have to do it. Okay? Let's go on. He says, he will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Don't you want to be set above the nations of the earth that are cursed?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe there are places that are cursed.
No, yeah.
I do a lot of reading of geography, and my goodness, I read about places that they don't have much blessing there at all. Everything, just the whole tenor of the whole nation seems to be a curse. I don't want to mention names, but my goodness, I'm reading about some of these places in the Caucasus mountains in southern Russia. Oh my goodness, the horrible things that are going on there. And all these blessings shall come upon thee, okay, and overtake thee if thou wilt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. blessings overtaking you. What does that mean, to be overtaken?
Overwhelmed.
That means that you can't run away from them. They'll chase you down. It doesn't matter where you go, how fast you go, the blessings are going to chase you to be overtaken. I think of something running after me and jumping on my back and pulling me down. Now, that's the way I want blessings to happen, not curses. Because the curse will do the same thing to you. It'll chase you down. It'll land on your back like a wild tiger. It'll be ready to eat you and consume you. No, I want the blessing to overtake me. Amen. Hallelujah. That I can't get away from the blessing. Well, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground. Amen. What is the fruit of our body, by the way, in the natural? It's our children, isn't it? Don't you want the blessing to come upon your children and your grandchildren? That's the fruit of your body. God says it can happen. Amen. The fruit of your ground. What's the fruit of your ground there, brother?
Generally, it's things that you grow in the garden.
Things that you grow, yeah. In the natural. We're just looking at natural things now here for a minute, okay? Your cattle. Well, I don't happen to have any cattle right now, but if I did, my cattle would be blessed. Amen. My kine. The kine is an old English word for milk cows, as opposed to beef cows. Okay? Flocks, sheep, your basket, your store. What is your store? That would be your pantry, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it says here your kneading bowl. I don't think many of you knead your bread anymore, do you? Not with all this good bread from Price Chopper. But if you didn't have this, you'd have to make your own, and your kneading bowl would be blessed.
These are royal
fruits
of the blessing.
Yes. Brother Campbell was telling me again several weeks ago, I was talking to him, and I remember he shared that story here, that there was a woman somewhere in the South that they had people come in, and this woman lived in a place of blessing. And she would put the pot on and begin to just put a little bit of stuff in there, and they would have 20, 30, 40 people come in, whatever, and there was always enough.
Oh yeah, amen.
And what was left over, they'd put back in the refrigerator, get it out again, and it would be blessed and feed more people. Yes, this has happened in our generation. It wasn't just in the days of Elijah. And you know what? It's going to have to happen again.
Yes.
When the day comes, when my store is empty, when the cupboard gets empty, I don't want it to get empty. But you know what? When it does get empty and there's no other answer, you're going to call upon the Lord, and the Lord is going to bless your store.
Amen. Yes.
And even if you put a little handful of flour in your kneading bowl and begin to bake it, it's going to be enough. Am I crazy?
No.
No, I don't know any other way. I have tried and tried and tried to figure out a way around this thing. I don't know any other way. I cannot possibly store up enough food to get me through and to keep me away from the thieves and everything else that's going to get me through. It isn't going to happen. I'm going to have to live in God's provision. All right? Now, the Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you to be smitten. Oh, no. I misspoke that. Thy enemies that rise up against thee. It doesn't say He's going to cause them to rise up against thee. Strike that. The enemies that do rise up against you. And by the way, He didn't say you won't have enemies. You will have enemies. But when they rise up against you, they will be smitten before your face. Can you deal with that?
Yes.
In other words, you don't have to fight them with every tooth and nail and drop of strength and blood that you've got. God will take care of your enemies. Amen? They shall come out against you one way and flee before these seven ways. That's assuming that seven of them come against you. Or one gets broken into seven pieces. Okay? Anyway, let's go on. Now, verse 13. I'm just going to give you some highlights here. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail.
Amen.
You shall be above only and shall not be beneath.
Amen.
How many of you want to be the head?
Amen.
How many of you would rather be the tail?
Amen.
They say the tail can wag the dog. That's an awful big tail. Amen. If you hearken to the commandments of the Lord. Now, here's the if you don't part of it. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake you. So, exactly the opposite of what I said, okay, in the blessing, in the city you'll be cursed. You flee to the field, get out of this city, it's a terrible place, it's a cursed place, I'm going out to the field. The field will be blessed. I don't like it in this state, I'm going to another state. Same thing, the curse will follow you. Whatever. In other words, you can't get away from it. Because the problem is in you. Okay? Cursed be your basket and your store. Cursed be the fruit of your body, the fruit of the land, the increase of your cattle and sheep and what have you. Cursed will you be when you come in, cursed when you go out. Lord will send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand for to do. You know, I like the verse in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, how does it go? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Yes. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law will he prosper day and night. But where's the verse that whatever he doeth, whatever he doeth shall prosper.
His sheep also shall not wither.
Yes.
Whatever he doeth shall prosper.
That's right. That is a picture of blessing. That psalm. And in the contrast is he's staying away from he's not getting his life entangled sitting in the council of people whose life is cursed. Now, it doesn't mean he's not ministering to them, but he's not going in business with them either. Be careful who you go in business with, brethren. You go in business with people that are under judgment of God, you're going to get judgment of God. It's going to come upon you. And I've even said that to people who are thinking of going into business with their rebellious son. Brother, your son is coming under the dealing of God. Are you sure that you want to be in business with your son? Because he's going to be dealt with, and you're going to be dealt with too, if you get involved in that financial deal with your son. I just use that as an example, okay? Where did we finish off here? Cursing, vexation, rebuke. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Cleave. What does that mean? It sticks to you. You can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of this disease. You know? Lord, how do I get rid of this disease? It's cleaving to me. With fever, inflammation, extreme burning, with a sword, with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. You know what it's designed for? It's designed to make you step back and say, what's going wrong in my life? I'm not saying you're not going to be tried, but this doesn't end. Lord, what is happening here? Amen. Well, the 28th chapter is just full of blessings and curses. Verse 27 just comes upon my eyes here. Smite thee with a botch of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God does not want us to have the diseases of Egypt.
No, at all.
What do you think of the name swine flu?
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like it belongs to the people of God, does it? It belongs to swine.
No.
Hong Kong flu, Asian flu, N1H1, whatever. These are not things that God intends us to have.
Amen.
He is able to deliver us from these things.
Yeah.
I used to have these things. I used to be cursed by these things. And I found out, and this goes way back to about this 1971 or 72 or whenever, when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I began to say, I remember I discovered myself saying at one time, well, here it is, it's fall, and it's flu season, and I'm going to have it. I get it every year. I'm going to be down sick for a whole week. I said it. What was I doing? I was opening the door to the curse. And I was agreeing with it.
Right.
I mean, this cursed thing would come knocking on my door, and I'd just open the door and say, hey, come on in. I've been waiting for you. And one day I said, no. No, I will not. I will not have that thing anymore. And I send it to the abyss.
Amen.
This is before I knew anything about spiritual warfare. I just knew I didn't want it anymore.
Amen.
And in the name of Jesus, I said no. And you know what? That was in the 1970s. I've never had the flu again since that day.
That's right. Amen.
Nor had I ever missed a day of work from that day on.
Amen.
Come on, brethren, you can move by faith and obedience to God. Yes, I had to start obeying God too. There were areas of my life I had not been obeying God. I was young. He gave me a pass on some of that stuff because of my youth. But you know what? I don't think He'd give me a pass today because I know better. Some of that stuff was just foolishness. Foolishness of youth. I had to give it up. I had to walk away from it. Yes, I had to obey God in order to get that blessing in my life. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk about what is this thing called, this curse that we find in Deuteronomy 28. Oh, there's other places you can find it in. You can find it in, I think it's Deuteronomy. Let me just look at chapter 11, verse 26. I think it's mentioned there as well. Let's verse 25. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey, a curse if you will not obey. Now that's where it's at. That's what I'm seeing. You want to walk in blessing? You obey God. You want to walk in a curse? You don't obey. So, in order to find out what a curse is, you've got to go back to the first mention of it in the Bible. And I want to go back to the fourth chapter of Genesis, chapter 9. I know this doesn't sound like a very exciting word here today, but I think that we need to understand how to get delivered. And I don't know who all is going to be listening to this. I'm making a tape or whatever, a recording. I have no idea. It's probably not limited to people that are just sitting right here today. Amen. But it's Cain, all right? And Cain had gotten angry with his brother Abel because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he did not accept Cain's. It seems that Cain wanted to be a vegetarian of some sort, or at least he wanted to bless God with his vegetables. And what?
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea. No. God wanted the blessing of the sacrifice of blood.
Amen.
Now, somehow they should have understood that principle, and I don't think that it was going to be a big surprise. I don't believe that, you know, God can't hold you accountable unless He's given you instruction as to what He expects.
Right.
So they had to have both been given instruction as to what was going to please God.
Yeah.
Abel decided he was going to obey. Cain decided, no, I'm going to do a new thing. In other words, it was a religious thing that he wanted to do. He wanted to create something new. Well, I think we can bless God this way, even though he said he wants to be blessed that way. Let's just try something new. And you know what happened with Nadab and Abihu when they wanted to try a new thing out in religion? That didn't work out, did it? It brought death. And so, God warned him. He said, sin is waiting at the door. He's right outside your door. He's knocking on your door, Cain. And the next time you open the door, he's going to be there. So I advise you to take steps now to keep him away. I'm warning you. God gave him a warning. My goodness, you know, God doesn't always knock on our door and tell us when He sees that we're ready to do something wrong. Sometimes He lets us do it.
Well, we have the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen. Good word there, sister. We got the Holy Spirit to warn us. Yes, and the Holy Spirit does warn us.
Yes, amen.
Amen. How many of you ever remember being warned by the Holy Spirit and going ahead and doing what you wanted to do anyway? It didn't work out very good, did it?
No.
And you know, the second time you did that, and the third time, your heart got harder and harder and harder. To the point where soon you weren't hearing the Holy Spirit anymore. Oh, yes. We know where that path goes as well. All right. So, it says in verse 8, let me do part of verse 7 here. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, he desires to have you, sin. By the way, sin is not just a principle. Sin is a person. Sin is the devil wants you. He desires to have you for lunch. Consume you. He desires to eat you. He gets life out of your life. But he said, God said, my plan is that you will rule over him.
Amen.
You can put your foot on his neck. And his neck is going to be on the ground, by the way.
Yep.
Amen. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The life of your brother has gone out. It is now in the ground, and he's crying out to me. And now art thou cursed. He didn't negotiate with Cain. He didn't say, what do you think I ought to do? What do you think your punishment ought to be? I'll give you three choices. No, he didn't. He said, here's the choice. I made it. You're going to be cursed. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Now, what was the manifestation of the curse? Three manifestations, right? One, he would not be able to continue to be a vegetable farmer.
Right.
Didn't say he couldn't grow sheep. But he said, you can plant all the garden you want, you can fertilize it all you want, it won't yield to you. You're cursed. Well, the weed part came from the curse of sin.
Uh-huh.
Adam and Eve,
right.
They were already fighting weeds. Thistles, thorns, briars,
right.
Was already the problem.
Right.
Now God is saying, I don't matter how many thorns and thistles and things you pull, you still are not going to get a crop. So, not getting a crop from the labor of your hands, what is the man going to do? He's going to be a vagabond. Do you know what a vagabond is? A vagabond is a man who has no home. Could be a woman too, by the way. I don't mean to put a gender on this thing. It's somebody that has no home, no place to settle, nothing to call your own.
Right.
Homeless.
Right.
My goodness, the world is full of vagabonds today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why? What's happened?
Curse.
Something of this curse. Not only a vagabond, but he adds one more thing. You're not only a vagabond, you're a fugitive.
Right.
Now, a fugitive, if he knows that he's a fugitive, he generally doesn't land in one place very long, does he?
He's running.
He's on the run.
Right.
He's always on the run. Why? Because somebody's always after him. Now, who is going to be after Cain? By the way, do you know that there were more than four people living on the earth at the time this happened? There had to be. I mean, these guys were not 15 and 16 years old. I just don't believe it. I believe they were grown men. I believe they had families. I believe that Cain had a wife. I believe that they probably had children. They probably had grown children. Because Cain says that this is more than I can bear. He said, everyone that findeth me shall slay me. God said, all right, I'm going to put a mark on you. You're still going to be a vagabond. You're still going to be a fugitive. But I'll put a mark on you and nobody can slay you.
Yep.
I'm not going to let you die, but you're going to have to live this curse out the rest of your life. No, I think that Abel had children. He must have had children, had relatives, maybe had grandchildren. I don't know how old these guys were. You know, hey, come on. People were having babies up into their hundreds.
Yeah.
Eve had another baby after this. She might have been 200, 300 years old. I'm saying that there were other people, and there were people that wanted to kill this man because of what he had done.
Yeah.
The curse of the vagabond. My God, if that curse has ever been on you or anyone you know or any of your family members, there's a deliverance for Jesus is the curse for us.
Amen.
And we can be delivered from that curse. Well, let me find another one. There's another man that got cursed. And it's still in the book of Genesis. We have to go back to the beginnings to understand these things. Genesis chapter 9. This is after the flood. And Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard. Now, Noah, I don't know what Noah was doing before the flood. He spent a lot of time building an ark. He had to eat. But I can't believe that Noah didn't understand what happens to grape juice when you leave it around. Maybe it didn't happen before the flood. You know, there's a lot of things that changed at the time of the flood. Rainbows didn't appear before the flood.
Right. Right.
The atmosphere was different.
Yeah.
The Arctic may very well have been like a tropical jungle.
It was.
Yeah, everything was different. A whole lot of things differed. Maybe we were in the greenhouse effect, and these environmentalists, oh, the warning, the greenhouse is coming. Maybe the greenhouse would be a good thing. Maybe we'd be back in the Garden of Eden all over the earth if we had the greenhouse effect. You know? All right, so things changed, and maybe the fermentation of sugar and the breakdown into alcohol didn't happen. Maybe there was no alcohol before the flood. I'm just speculating. I can't believe a 600-year-old man that had been living with things wouldn't have known that would happen. They must have made wine, but I don't think they had alcohol before the flood. Anyway, Noah got into trouble. He drank it, and he got drunk. Drunken. So drunk that he had his clothes off in his tent. He was so drunk he didn't realize he was naked, and yet he was somehow aware when his son Ham came in and had a big laugh over it. And Ham went out, it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, verse 22, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. This is the youngest son, Ham. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. What is a servant of servants? I understand a servant, but he said, you're even going lower than that. You're going to be a servant to the servants. So he put a curse on his grandson, Canaan. He didn't bless, he didn't curse every one of Ham's sons, but he cursed Canaan. And by the way, who are the Canaanites? They were the ones that the children of Israel eventually had to drive out of the land of promise. They were the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all those other ites.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
They were wicked people.
Right.
They were under a curse.
Lying, stealing.
Oh my goodness. It wasn't just lying and stealing. The gods that they were worshiping, the sexual practices, really would make you think of the state of California today. Of what was going on. Yes, this was going on among the Canaanites, and God was so, he said, the cup of their iniquity is so full, I want you to go in, I want you to wipe out every one of them. I don't want one tentacle or shred of that spirit left in the land. I don't want you marrying with their daughters. I don't want you your daughters marrying their sons. I don't want anything left of them now. Their day has come to an end. And I'm wondering what God is going to do now that these things have come back into the land again. My goodness. Praise the Lord. Well, you see, Ham or Canaan did not have to become a vagabond and a fugitive, but God can state the terms of the curse. He can say, well, this curse is that you're going to be servants forever. You're never going to be the head. You're always going to be the tail. You're always going to be on the run. You're never going to have a play. You know, you're never going to be at peace. You're always going to be tormented. You're never going to have health in your body. You're always going to have some disease. I mean, this is the thing that God is saying then when we get up to the children of Israel. He's telling them. Now, go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, and I will bless them that bless thee. God is talking to Abraham here. And curse him that curseth thee.
Right.
And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He didn't say in because of thee they're all going to be cursed. He said, he emphasized the positive part. Abraham, your seed is going to be the cause of the blessing of all the earth. But those that bless you will be blessed, and those that curse you will be cursed. Now, Paul defines the seed of Abraham, does he not? And where is it in Galatians where he says that he is not talking about seeds as plural, as many, but as seed. So who is the seed of Abraham? Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, see, that's the singular, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we then become the seed of Abraham. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, what's happened, you know, God is still, is this, has this verse expired?
No.
So are there not still people cursing the seed of Abraham?
Yeah.
Christ and those that are Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What's going to happen to them who curse the believers?
They're going to be cursed.
Is there any hope?
Yes,
there is hope.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Turning to Him nullifies the curse because He became the curse. See, the curse would still remain, but somebody had to take that curse. Justice had to be served. It was a sentence that God passed down. So Jesus had to take it on Him. I have one more verse I want to read. Oh, by the way, comment on Ham. Ham didn't kill anybody. What was the sin?
It was dishonor, disrespect.
He exposed his father's nakedness.
And
laughed about it. Now, come on. Listen to the spiritual side of this. You can be guilty of this spiritually as well.
Right.
Be careful. You don't expose your father's shame or nakedness.
Amen.
Don't expose your father's shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes your spiritual fathers. There are spiritual fathers that we have too. Or it bring a curse
mm-hmm.
upon you.
Yes.
I have to just include Haggai here because it just fits so well. I can almost quote it. Haggai chapter 1. I'll just hasten along here. We're going to come to a close here in a little bit. Haggai chapter 1. Oh my. I can never find Haggai when I'm looking for it. Here we are. Haggai chapter 1 verse 5. Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. When you've heard a word of blessings and cursing, consider your ways. Lord, what's going on in my life? You know, I would be asking, I always ask questions. When things come to my life, I say, Lord, what did I do?
Right. Yeah.
Where did I disobey?
Right.
Lord, I want this to come to an end. I don't want any more of this.
Right.
Tell me where I stepped off. Because I want to go back and walk it right. Now, therefore, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. That sounds like Cain, doesn't it? No matter how much you sow, you're not going to bring anything in. Amen? Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. You just can't get warm no matter how many clothes you put on. We're looking at a spiritual condition here now. Okay, he uses natural. And he that earneth wages, now this can be natural, earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes.
Right.
In other words, they paid you by a big old bag of silver coins. You put it in your bag wallet, tied it to your belt, went home. Time you got home, there wasn't anything left. Why? It all fell out, had a hole in it.
Yeah.
See?
Like a bear.
You know, Brother Mike, I think you've got people that you've dealt with that have this curse. You were telling about these people that dwell there. You said they've got good jobs. Some high-ranking officials, you know, working for the state. And yet they're living like a bum.
Yeah.
Why? What is the problem? Where did the money go? No, you can sit down with a pen and paper and try to figure it out. You can't figure it out. And yet, you can be blessed and you can't figure out how you got blessed.
Right.
I got blessed one time and I couldn't figure out how. The place that I went to work for was going bankrupt. I didn't know that or I wouldn't have taken the job. When I got done working for them 7 years later, they had, I better be careful, I keep giving different numbers. I think they had something like $400,000 in different accounts in the bank after 7 years. I said, "Lord, I'm not a financial genius. I don't know how this happened." And all the Lord would say is, "I sent you here as Joseph, and I decided to bless everything that you did."
Amen.
in this place.
Amen.
As a testimony to those who might have been your enemies.
Yes. Amen.
You see? So he said, "You earn wages to put in a bag with holes." He said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Look at this sandwich. Verse 5 and 7. Consider your ways. The meat of it is, you got a problem.
Mm.
It's a sandwich. So, consider our ways. There's another verse in Proverbs chapter 3. Very, you know, I just fell upon this verse, and I said to Rita, I've read Proverbs dozens of times, perhaps hundreds of times, I don't know, and I never fell upon this verse. Proverbs chapter 3. I've read it, but it never stuck out to me. Proverbs 3, verse 33. Oh, I wrote the wrong thing down, but it is 33. The curse of the Lord is in the... No, this isn't the one I wanted, is it? The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Yeah, that's one of the verses. Okay. That means that the world, the house of the wicked, the people of the world is under the curse.
Yeah, yeah.
They are under. It doesn't matter. Some of them prosper. Some of them get to be millionaires, but they're still under a curse.
Right.
These guys that get to be millionaires, start counting how many wives they've had. Oh, you hear of they got married again. You know what? It isn't going to last. They're under the curse. It's going to fall again. In other words, you go read in Deuteronomy 28 again. This is included in those curses. You shall betroth a wife and you'll never have her. Somebody else will take her. Marry a wife. She's going to run off on you. You know? Curse. It's evidence of a curse. There's maybe it's the verse in Jeremiah that I was looking at. I think it is. Jeremiah 48. Just two more passages here, brethren. Jeremiah 48. Comes right after Isaiah. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. And this is best seen, I guess, in the Amplified, but I'm going to read it in the King James. "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." Do you ever remember that verse? This is the one that I had never come across. "Cursed be the Lord that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." That means a man can be ministering and be cursed because he's deceitful. He's not honest before God. You understand, don't you? Yeah. "And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood."
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, let's take the second part of that in a spiritual aspect. Not. I don't think God wants us to take our natural sword or our M16 or whatever gun we've got and just start shooting at people or killing people or cutting heads or what have you. "Cursed be he..." What verse is it again now? 10. "And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." Where does God want... What does God want us to kill?
The devil.
But insofar as I'm concerned,
self.
He wants me to take the sword after Adam.
Right, amen, yeah.
And he says, if you know what you need to do and you're not doing it, it's a curse.
Yeah.
You need, if rebellion is in my heart, I need to put the sword to my rebellion and shed the blood.
Yeah.
If iniquity is in me, if I'm moving in lust, greed, anger, avarice. Name them off. I mean, fill in your own blanks.
You know.
Do a customized, so you know what the problem is. He said if you hold back your sword from blood. That's what I think it means. And when you see it in the Amplified, it does put that side to it.
It's a demon spirit.
Kill those devils that have been dwelling
in
this house.
They're real.
Yes, they are very real.
I've heard them.
And you have the ability to kill them. You have a sword. You have the sword of the Spirit.
Yes.
You have the right, and you have the power, and you have the authority to put an end to them and put an end to your living and in the expression of the life under the curse. You have a right to do it.
Deliver thyself.
Deliver thyself. Yes, we have a right to put an end to the way my life has been going.
Amen.
And that I can begin now to walk in the high places of the earth and not down here in the muck and the mud and the swamp any longer.
Right. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Get radical.
Yes.
Get radical. Get down on your face before God and get radical.
Amen.
Whatever it takes, God, I'll do it. I'll repent.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, we can only repent when God calls us to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we live in a groaning and travail and say, oh God, I wish I could repent. I remember clearly a time in my life must have been the early 70s, terrible time in my life. And I remember actually praying and saying, oh God, if only a prophet would come along and put his finger in my face and say, son, thus saith the Lord, get it right and repent.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God, I can't do it on my own. I know I'm in terrible condition. Can't you send a prophet to me that'll say, repent? No, he didn't send a prophet. He began to deal in other ways with me.
Amen.
And in little by little, precept upon precept,
amen,
I began to repent. I began to kill those demons,
amen,
that were destroying my life.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a good job. That wasn't the problem. But it went into a bag with holes.
Inner man.
You know, I found out after the Lord took me completely out of employment that I had more money than when I was working as an administrator. Yes, I had more left over. I don't know why, I can't figure it out. But I had to yield to what God wanted. I couldn't fight Him. I had to yield, and it prospered.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't prosper as much when I was doing it and rolling high.
Mm-hmm. You're doing it on your own. You're doing it on your own.
And you know, the funny thing is, a prophet did give me that word. When we first came down here into Schenectady, and I've never seen that prophet again. He's not in any group that we fellowship with. He's far away. He probably lives in Arizona or someplace like that. Arizona is always the farthest place I can think of, even though California is further. Arizona sounds more desert-like, you know, more desolate. But he said, son, take a pencil and paper and try to figure it out. You'll not be able to figure it out. But God is going to prosper.
Amen.
And he went on with other things. That's the part I remember. And I remember sitting down one time with a pencil and paper and saying, let me figure this out. And then it came to me. I thought, forget it. It isn't going to work. Last verse, Galatians 3. Galatians 3. The good news again. We start with good news. I want to finish with the good news. Galatians 3:10 through 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, brethren, if you're trying to keep the law, if you want to please God by keeping the Sabbath on the seventh day, keeping law, it's a curse because you can't keep it. God gave man 6,000 years to figure out, well, the first 4,000, to figure out that they can't keep the law. Maybe law itself, 2,000. At any rate, no man was able to keep it.
No.
Amen? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to them. I read that to you in Deuteronomy 28. You don't keep every one of the things I've written here in this law, you're cursed. You can't keep it.
You can't. No. No.
Even if you decide that you're going to worship on Saturday, you are not keeping the law. You're not keeping it. The very fact that you got in a car to drive there, you're not keeping it.
No.
Alright, so, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
Right.
Now, that's going to please God,
yes.
Walking by faith. Amen? Not keeping the law. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
How many of you believe that?
Amen.
How many of you live there?
Yeah.
Or if you don't, you want to live there. Amen. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, hanging on a tree means that you're dying by hanging on a tree. That's where they invented the hangman's noose, to hang people from trees. He said, well, he's a curse. He's a horse thief or something, a murderer. So they used to hang him by the neck. And it was a curse. And they would leave the body hanging there in the town square. People could see it. And they'd say, well, this is a warning. Anybody that wants to live the life this guy lived, there is his body hanging there on the tree. And it was so back in the days of David. They would hang him up. It was a curse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let me just read the next two verses because I had already mentioned them. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet is a confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So you see, you don't curse the seed of Abraham unless you yourself want to be in the same curse. You need to bless the seed of Abraham. And that's what we were doing this morning in praise, is come and bless the Lord. Bless Him with a heart of thanksgiving. Amen.